Awesome. Woohoo. Oh, that was quick. Good job. Somebody's standing out. You got the other one over there. Thank you very much. We hope everybody, Pastor Desiree and I hope everyone had a wonderful Easter day. We enjoyed having you with us Sunday morning, and we hope that as you left here that you had good times with friends, family. I know some even got together before Easter. It was fun worshiping you because we look at you guys and you're part of our family, our church family. So that's where our hearts, we like to see, we just like to see God work in your lives as well, you know? So, because that's the way it's supposed to be. So Pastor Desiree and I love you and just wanted to let you know that we cherish each and every one of you. So, and everything. Last week we looked at I took us on a different road of Easter last week just because I feel like that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And we talked about the passion of Jesus was what really kept him on that cross instead of the three nails, the two in his hands and one in his feet. But we saw that he endured so much so we could live. You know, he died, I love it, so he died so we could be brought back into that fellowship with the Father. The same fellowship, and what we don't really understand, and I think a lot of times this is where we can put God in a box because we think of him as this mighty, which he is mighty, because he's the Lord, God Sabaoth, the God of the angel army. So he's powerful, he's mighty, he's but he's also full of love and compassion. See, and it's that same love and compassion that he would walk in the garden every evening with Adam and Eve. You know, and it was the sin of of mankind that came with that day that separated us from our Father, from having that intimacy, from having that walk. You know, but we see that it was the sacrifice of Jesus out of his passion for mankind, his love for mankind that put him on that cross. Why? So that we could have that fellowship with the Father again. And I think that's what's very important is that, yes, praise the Lord. But I love the young ones. They like to. Oh yeah, it's my biggest fan over there. But praise the Lord. But you know, we see that it's those times where now we can go into the presence of the Father. We can seek His face. We can talk to Him once again, and listen to His voice. You know, we get that intimacy again. And a lot of times we don't understand that fully, you know, and really understand that. A lot of times we think he's up there with a lightning bolt in his hand waiting to strike us down for something we've done wrong, you know. Not saying that he won't bring punishment, because he has to. He's a father, you know, but it's that same thing as a father that we don't have to wait in line outside of the throne room, because it says we can boldly come into his presence. We can boldly come into the throne room. You know, that's not waiting. That means I'm kicking the door in and we're coming into the Father's presence. That's boldly, you know, and it's that because of Jesus and his sacrifice again brought us back into that. And I love it because Jesus and his sacrifice, we also got grafted into the vine, and we also got grafted into that same covenant with Abraham. You know, which is a covenant of blessing, it's a covenant of provision, it's a covenant of expansion, it's a covenant of growth, and it's a covenant that is so much. It's blessing, 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 blessing. You know, and we get to be partakers in that same covenant that was made, you know, and so we just need to allow him to do things in our lives. You know, God told Abraham that he would prosper and grow. Even though maybe Abraham didn't see it at that point in time, but if we do look at the life of Abraham, he was very wealthy. God used him and multiplied him. He even, Abraham, out of a good heart and humility, took the bad ground, but still God provided, and God prospered him, and God grew his crops and his flock and all that stuff. So we see that even, you know, with that, God provided for Abraham. So that's that same thing, is that we have to have that expectation that God will provide for us as well. You know, we see that all over the land. You know, some of the richest people in the world today are the Jewish people. Why? It's the blessings of God that's upon them. You know, we see that the nation of Israel even is a nation that does a lot of export of crops and fruit and other things to the world. You know, they're one of the main ones. And they provide for the nations around them, but yet people want to curse them, which is just, it doesn't even register how they can do that. But, you know, Israel's there. But see, we see through the Jewish people that God is blessing them because of the Abrahamic covenant. God is providing for them. God is growing them. God is expanding their reach. God is doing everything he said he was going to do. But guess what? He can do that with us as well now because we've been grafted into the same vine. We just have to open up our expectations a little bit more and begin to speak into our situation. Instead of saying, I'm broke, I'm poverty, blah, blah, blah. Guess what? I say, I'm blessed, I'm rich, I'm whole because my God is going to provide everything that I need according to his riches, you know? But we need to expect that God will do things. But the thing about it is, too, when we look at it, and you might ask, there is a caveat to this, believe it or not. Uh-oh, what? Yes. Let's turn to James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. And it says, you lust and do not have. You commit murder. So you are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you what? Do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with what? Wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. See, the blessings of God is not for us to spend it on our pleasures, it's to advance the kingdom of heaven. The words it says, because you ask wickedly, okay, with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on or in your own pleasures. What we see going on here is a heart issue. Okay, what we see is that it's all about the heart. We're asking according, when we ask God for things, we need to be mindful and say, God, am I asking according to your will and your plan and your purpose? Or am I asking for my own personal greed or my own personal issues, you know? Is it those things? We should never ask for anything for personal gain, which is also cool, but get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Is that when we ask to advance the kingdom, God will also bring the personal gain as well. Because God will look at it and say, all right, well, if I give you this, are you going to be a good steward with what I'm giving you? And if you are, God will expand your reach. And in the same time, it will bless you personally because you're going after the kingdom and expanding the kingdom. So it's a partnership, I guess you could say, with the fathers that if we do our part to expand the kingdom, he will also take care of us. It's all about the heart. It says we lust and we do not have, so we commit murder. We're envious and cannot obtain, so we fight and quarrel. You know, what the Lord is showing us is that heart problem again. A wrong heart always leads towards a fleshly outcome. Lust and envy are, it's a heart thing. Okay, it's inside, it's a heart. But then the outcome of having a lustful heart, it says, then you murder, or then you fight and quarrel. So what we're seeing is that the heart wasn't right, and then a physical aspect took place because of it. The sin grew to a point where we react or can react with a physical nature. Why? Because the heart, if we allow things in our heart to fester, the outcome is never good. That's why you always hear me saying we have to forgive, we have to forgive, we have to forgive. No matter if we don't want to forgive, we have to forgive. Why? Because it's like a sliver, and it will continue to fester and fester and fester until it gets really bad. And if we don't get that splinter out and get it taken care of, guess what? The outcome can be it's this nasty looking, and then they got to cut the finger off or something like that if it gets really bad. But it can affect, see that one sliver, if the affection gets bad enough, it can affect the whole entire body. That's why if you get a sliver or anything in there, it's important to get it out as soon as possible, because if left undone, it will fester and it can affect the entire body. And that's the same way with a wrong heart. If we do not get our hearts right, if we do not get focused on the Lord, a wrong heart can affect the entire body to where we lash out in physical aspects. See, God doesn't want us to lie, steal, and cheat for gain. But he wants us to trust him. He wants us to need him. He wants us to rely on him to provide and bless us in ways that we can't even imagine. You know, and I love it. I love testimonies. But heard one this morning. Mind-blowing experience. But God. You know, we look at something, but then I love the phrase. I love to have those but God moments, you know. Oh, this is the way things are going, but God. Because we have things our one way, but God's like, oh, no, here comes the but God. You know, and you're like, oh, there goes the mind. But I love to have those mind-blowing experiences because God shows himself in such amazing ways. But we need to be open to receive. Some say, you know what, I'm in a dry spell in my life. I feel like I'm in a valley right now. And far from blessing, what do? Walk. That's the key. Walk. We're going to see this in Psalms 23, verse 4. It says, yea, though I stand and wait, right? In the valley, is that what it says? No. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That one took off. But see, one thing is that what we really need to ask ourselves is, how did I get in the valley in the first place? And I've got some pictures, because in just a second. How did I wind up in this dark place? How do I get out of it? Well, one is you walk. I will say that there is hope for us even amidst the darkness. The hope is our relationship with Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is the way. He is the truth, as Scripture tells us. He is everything that we need. And this passage of Scripture holds some revelation on how we get out of the valley and basically how we get into the valley to begin with. The first thing we do is we don't stop walking. Okay, the Hebrew word for valley here is, and I always butcher it, but it's gay or gaihi. It's like a gorge, okay? What we think is a valley is that nice grassy area on the bottom of a mountain. No, but we got some pictures here, I hope. There they are. That's a gorge, okay? That's what David's talking about. Go on to the next one. We'll run through these. See, these are not pleasant. These are rocky. No way to climb out, you know, unless you're young and, or, you know, I don't know. Mountain goats could do it. I couldn't do it, but probably, climb that thing, no problem. Go on to the next one. Okay, now this one is a famous one. And if you have ever been there, this is Tallulah Gorge or Tallulah Falls. Okay, it's in Georgia. And it's insane. Okay, I want to tell you that one right now. But this is Tallulah Gorge. Again, it looks pleasant, but when we look at it, there's step, next one. Yeah, buddy. Mm-hmm. That's how you get down to the bottom. Steps, lots of them. Matter of fact, the next one tells you, caution, steep, if you can see it. It says, strenuous trail. To walk to the bottom is 62 steps. 1,062 steps to get to the bottom. Now, what does that mean? You have to climb 1,062 steps to get yourself out of there. And I was foolish enough back in 2014 to do it. Thought I was going to die on the way back up. Getting down was not a problem. But getting back up, me and Jesus were real close. I'm like, take me now. And he's like, you're only a quarter of the way. Take me now. But, you know, I'm like, Lord, lift me up on the wings of eagles and put me on top. But no, I had to punish my way all the way back up the other side of this gorge and then have a nice 3/4 mile walk all the way back to the car because I wasn't going down and climbing up the other side again. Forget it. But see, that's what the valley is. It's a gorge. It's steep walls making it hard to get out of. But what? We must keep walking because if I'd have quit, they'd had to get a helicopter down there to come get me, you know. But see, there's guys, and I found out that the workers that handle the park, the rangers, I guess you'd say, every night at closing, the park closes, and these guys have to go walk that every night to make sure that somebody is not left. They're on the bottom going, help me, please. But every night they got a truck, and then they got to come back up on the other side and make sure that the whole entire park is clear to people so nobody gets trapped on the bottom of that thing. And I'm like, dude, bless you, because no way you catching this going to do that. Uh-uh. But what we see is that David says to keep walking. Because if you don't, you quit, you're done. See, David is saying that if we stop, what happens is we give up hope. And therefore, we stop really existing. We begin to say, he's saying no matter what, keep walking and keep walking and keep walking and keep walking. Why? Because at the same time, you're walking in faith. You're walking saying, God, I thank you that even though I'm in the valley right now, you're going to get me out of here. Even though I'm in this place right now, I'm trusting you that you're going to provide the way out. It's walking in faith because all we see is the bottom of a valley with steep walls. The only way we're getting out of there is through our faith in Jesus Christ. Again, that Hebrew word for valley means gorge. The Hebrew word is based off of a root word. Check this out. And this explains how we get in the valley to begin with. The Hebrew word for the valley or the gorge is another root that is derived from. It's called gaiva, which means exaltation, arrogance, or lifting up pride. See, that's why even the scripture says what pride cometh before a fall. Pride will get us into the valley. The word, and that word is derived from another word that from the Hebrew word meaning back, that is a part of the body. Because, have you ever heard that phrase, because of pride? Good job, go ahead and pat yourself on your back. Well, you know, I'm patting myself on my back because of the work that I've done. I'm giving myself the glory for the work that I'm done. Get ready because the valley's opening up in front of you. The base of it means to be mounted up, in general, to rise, to be majestic, gloriously, grow up, increase, be risen, triumph. It's only used 7 times in the Bible. And the word shadow here is actually meaning a shade. And I like that because when you look at it, a shade of death, even though I walk through the valley or the shade of death, guess what happens to shade? It disappears. You know, the enemy might try to get us into a place where we're in fear, we're in desperation, we're walking in hopelessness, depression or whatever. He tries to bring condemnation regarding the sin or regarding things in order to get us to turn our back against God. But we feel like we're in the darkness, in the shadow or the shade of destruction in our lives. But guess what? After a while, the shade disappears. Because in Florida, we find out there is nowhere to go in the middle of the day. That's not hot, but no. But even the shade, after a while, the sun comes over and the shade disappears. So even though we may be in the valley, it's not a permanent deal. There will be some point where we come out of it. We have nothing to fear. I love this. I fear. I love it because God puts, there's so much thing. I mean, even as the times began, the Lord knew that fear was going to try to encapsulate and steal the joy and hopes of his people. So that's why I love in the Bible, it says 365 times, either do not fear or fear not. It's saying, hey, less what? Don't fear. I got this. But see, sometimes we see our situation and we allow fear to rise up inside of us because of what we're looking at, which therefore we lose our trust on God. So we think that, you know what, I can do it better in this moment and I'm not going to listen to the voice of God. Next you know, fear rises up and next thing you know, we're in a valley. Why? Because pride says you can handle this better and you don't need to trust God in this aspect. Take measures in your own hands. And because of that own pride, we find ourselves in a valley. This place, this is a place of we got to understand that God is always there, no matter what. I love that. He's with us. He's by our side. You know, this is a place of hope in the darkness because we have God with us. And that's one of the things that I love about it is Jesus says, you know, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is such an important promise that we need to rely on, because we have to understand he's always there for us. You know, family may not always be there for us. Friends, probably, unless we find that good friend, are not always there for us. A lot of times when things get rough and tough, guess what? Friends and family are like, it's on you, dude. I'm out, you know? And we're left standing alone going, where is everybody? Where's my friends to help me through this? No, that's why we need church too. You know, that's why we need other believers to help us through that situation. But the most thing we need is Christ, because he's there all the time. He never leaves us nor forsake us. It can give us hope. I love it, because in this midst, he says, I will fear no evil. It's hope in the midst of darkness, because of the relationship we have. And the latter part of this verse says, thy rod and thy staff. Now, when we look at it, they sound like the exact same thing, a big stick, right? You know, because you hear the rod of Jesse and the staff that Moses had and told Aaron, you know, throw down his rod, and actually a staff we would see with a sheep and all that stuff. They would hook the lambs, but we feel like it's the same thing. It's a rod, it's a wooden stick, but really it's not. They have two different meanings, and David did this in the Hebrew, the two different meanings. The rod here means to branch off, a stick for, ready for this? Punishing. It's also for writing, fighting, ruling, so on and so on. It also means correction. It's a rod, a dart, a scepter, a tribe, which is what he was talking about with the 12 tribes. It's a branching off. But see, this rod David was talking about is the one for correction. He says that it comforts him and brings him peace. We don't like correction, but it's needed. And then the staff, of course, is a place of support, a sustenance, and it was a walking stick. And the root word is derived from a meaning that means is a protector, something to lean on or rely on or rest on. It helps to support oneself. And I love it. So with these two, we see that in the valley usually comes from a place of sin derived from the pride in our lives. But because of that sin, we do not need to stop walking, but continue on a different path. When we allow the rod of correction of the Lord to bring us into a place of repentance, and in doing so, we do not need to fear the darkness around us, even though he is bringing us that correction, right? He has given us his staff, his walking stick, something to rely on, to lean on, to support us through the process that are needing to get us out of the valley and back into that place of righteousness. So, what got us into the valley in the first place? Again, our heart wasn't right. We allowed sin to enter in. We allowed pride to come in and to deceive us and to deviate us off of the path of righteousness into a place of despair. But through that place, it's a gorge of desperation. It's a gorge of lies, sins, and hopelessness. But when we allow the correction of the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, it helps to get us into a place of repentance. And by repenting, what happens then is God gives us hope and the assurance, the means to walk out of that gorge. You know, it's like the Grand Canyon. Those donkeys, if you ever do the ride, which I never did, because it's a long way down. I got to trust everything on a donkey. And I'm hoping it's not like the Balaam donkey that stops, throws me off, and starts talking to me. No, I'm just kidding. But those donkeys know the path to get up and out of there. But see, when we get into a place of repentance, even in the midst of that, God will give us the means to get out of that valley and get us back into that place of righteousness, get us back into that place of right standing with him. And it only comes with us getting rid of that and allowing ourselves to cry out in a place of repentance, asking God's forgiveness for our pride, for whatever we've done wrong. Allowing the spirit of pride to operate in our lives opens the door to so much more. It really is. I use the visual aspect, you know, pride and all that stuff. Because of pride, it gets us into a place of unforgiveness. And I say that out of all the ones when we do the healing deliverance ministry, the door of unforgiveness is like a French door. It's huge. And that door, if we allow it to be opened in our life, will bring in so much junk that it wreaks havoc in our lives. Well, pride says, through demonic influences, it says, I don't trust anyone. I glorify myself. Look at me. Look at what I've done. Look at all the accomplishments, you know. So you people sitting there need to put me on a pedestal. I'm just joking. That's pride, though. That's pride, even in leadership in churches. It's steeped in leadership, behind pulpits, where they say, put me up here. Look at me and everything that I'm doing. But I love it is that the pride behind the pulpit on the stage, but yet a lot of them will not dare go into the community where it takes humility to pray for someone. Why? Because pride says, it's all about me. It's not about you. It's all about my life. It don't care about you. As long as you're looking at me and everything that I've done, that's what's happy. But see, humility looks at everybody else and puts their issues and their needs before one own. And I believe this is where God is really getting to the church today, is getting humility brought back into the church, to where the church doesn't look at itself anymore, but begins to look at people in the street a whole lot different, begins to look at their lives and feel that heartfelt cry that goes after them. You know, pride says, pride gets mad when it doesn't have the promotions, it doesn't have the new car, the new house. It works with envy, jealous, hatred, and anger. Pride will blind your heart and mind to the point where you cannot even tell the truth anymore. Jesus said that the truth will set you free. People in pride do not want to be set free because that means they must put on humility. Sometimes because of our own pride, we stay in the valley a whole lot longer than we should. See, God wants us to trust him, to walk with him, but it's going to take faith on our part to heed to his words and obey them. That's one thing about God. He wants to do things, but he wants us to be obedient as well. You know, and that goes with any parent towards their child. I'll give you this stuff, but I want you to obey. Because if you don't want to obey, you ain't getting it. You know? And they're like, oh, why? Well, that's what we do with God. Why can't I have that? Because you're not obeying me right now. So change your heart, change your life, repent, start obeying what I'm telling you to do, and watch what I do. Because he's got blessings just poured out, waiting. See, pride also works with fear. To get you to do something contrary to the faith walk that God wants you to do. It says that it will never work. I love it. When you stand on something and say, I'm going to stand on this, the first things in your mind, or it could come from somebody else that comes up and says, it'll never work. That's crazy. What? What's that faith doing? He's trying to cause doubt and fear. We know, we saw before that doubt basically is fear. Fear and doubt, they work really good hand in hand with each other. But see, God, you know, the enemy will use other people that are close to us, family, friends, whatever. It says, this is a crazy idea. It'll never work. Why are you even going this route? But see, faith says, all right, God, no matter what happens out here, I'm going to trust you because my hope and my assurance is in you, that you're going to move that mountain out of my way, and I'm going to see the hope and the calling of everything that you have laid out for me. You see, God is our only hope through a season of darkness. He's the only way that we can get out of that valley. See, all he wants us to do is to repent and allow our faith to rise up to the point where we are all in and trust him. You know, we can look through the Old Testament, and they did this behavior, the Jewish people. We trust you, God. Nah, we'll do it ourselves. Whoop, we trust you, God. Yeah, well, you know, cry out, repent. And that was their the life, the cyclic life, I call it, of the Jewish people. But see, God was always there. He was always giving them the thing. But a greater covenant we have because Jesus' blood still pours on that mercy seat. So even if the enemy wants to try to do things, we can repent and it'll be forgiven right away. What we really need to do is to be all in. You know, and you hear me say that. We have to be all in. We can't have one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom at the same time and tell God, I worship you, I glorify you. Hey, you know what? I'm single. I'm going to go to this bar and have a good time with a young lady or a man or whatever. We can't do that. It's not right. You're living two worlds. But see, God wants us to be all in. That means that when we're all in, we trust him. When he says, I want you to do this, we're going to be like, all right, I'm going to do it. I want you to go here. All right, I'm going to do it. You know what? We look at the world and we cry and we weep for the things that are happening in the world, calling for his salvation to be poured out, calling for an awakening and revival. But yet we're allowing our lives to be different from the world so that the world will look at us and go, wow, they're happy, they're joyful, they're peaceful in the midst of chaos. I want what they have. It's being the example of the kingdom. It's being all in, saying, I'm not giving myself. I'm not going to go, well, God, I'll give you 80% of my life, but that other 20 I'm going to hold on to. No. It's putting your toe on unstable ground. And if that ground gives off and your balance is trying to hold things and that ground gives away underneath of you, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall. All in says, God, I'm standing on the rock, and I'm going to allow you to watch over me, my family, my finances, my house, my job, everything. And wherever you say, I love that song. Whatever you say. Yeah, wherever you go, I'll go. Whatever you say, I'll say. It's by Bethel. And it's so true, because that should be our mindset. Is God, wherever you go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. That's all in. You know, that's the way it is. But we're called to live a life of trust, faith, and repentance. Without repentance, we'll still be in the valley with no hope and no way out. Again, when we repent, we get the way out. God brings us back. And we get to choose and to follow him in his direction, because the enemy's tricky. The enemy will try to get us to rise, our flesh to rise up in ways in order to bring us into that valley. And that's why our eyes always need to be focused on the path that's laid out before us. You know, and that's why, like, even Benny Hinn, I love it, wakes up in the morning and says, all right, Holy Spirit, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Lord. Let's go to work. You know, I'm all in today. Let's go do something for the kingdom of heaven. But when we make those statements, we need to be ready, because God will open up those ways and we'll have an opportunity to do something. So this morning as we close, I would like every head bowed and every eye closed. I did it right this time. Praise the Lord. I just want you to sit there right now and just tell the Holy Spirit to search my heart. Reveal any sin in my life that needs to be dealt with. Reveal any pride in my life that I am holding on to. Reveal anything that I'm not fully in, those things that I may be given a part of my life. Reveal those things so I can repent of it. I don't want any part of my life to be in the valley. I want my life to be on top, walking with you. I want to be close to you, Lord. And do not want anything separating me from the fullness that you have for me. And then say, I choose to repent this morning of all my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness right now. I thank you for your forgiveness this morning and setting me free. I thank you that my life or parts of my life are coming out of the valley right now. I declare this morning, I am all in. And with every head bowed and every eye still closed, you know what? I just feel the need right now that we're seasons that people are in are different seasons in our lives. You know, some may be in a different area. Some might be in a valley that we never know. But I break off right now every bit of hopelessness over your people right now, Father. I break off all anxiety, fear, doubt over your people. And I cancel the assignment of pride. We command pride this morning that you are not. We say you are not allowed to rise up in our lives. Father, we choose to be covered. We choose to put on the coat of humility. Father, we thank you. And I cancel every assignment right now of the enemy to try to seek and to destroy, to try to get people into a place in the valley where they feel lost and hopeless right now. I break every scheme, method, lie of the enemy this morning over your lives. I speak hope. I speak assurance. I speak love. I speak the kingdom of God to just fall on you this morning. That God will draw closer to you than everything, than anything you've ever felt before. And even some this morning, I feel that God is telling you to turn around. That God is saying, enough is enough. It's time to turn around. It's time to be all in. You can't serve the world and the kingdom at the same time. You need to be all in. Yes, you may lose friends. Yes, you may lose coworkers. Yes, that's going to happen. But you know what? When you're in with God, all things, you can do all things. There's strength, there's assurance, there's victory in things in your life. Don't let fear cancel everything that Lord has for you from being all in. This morning, even just say, God, I am all in. Use me for the kingdom. Use me to be an example for my friends, my coworkers, and those that are in school, my classmates. Let me be an example of your kingdom. Father, I thank you right now for your strength and your boldness to fall down upon your people. Let your fire come and fill them with your glory from the bottom of their feet to the top of their heads, Father. Give them the strength and the assurance and the boldness to stand out amongst the crowd, Father, and be that strength that those that are in desperation need. We give it all to you, Father. We thank you this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, we said amen and amen. Amen. All right, we're going to get you out of here early this morning. Oh, 2 weeks in a row, what's going on? I don't know. God must be putting me on a new leaf. But I'm just kidding. So we're going to bring up Pastor Desiree to give us some announcements. And then we'll close you out with, your mic's still on. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for turning in your hours. As you can see, we're Ooh. Past the 500 mark.
Woo-hoo. We haven't even hit May yet. Woo-hoo.
Yes, it's awesome. So, and then mark your calendars if you're available on Saturday night, June 21st. Apostle Ken Malone will be speaking a special service on that Saturday night, and then he'll be at the River Church with Pastor Sandy Stewart Sunday morning and Sunday night. Yep. And so we are probably going to cancel our Sunday night worship to go over there and support Sunday night. So.
There will be an event coming out. I don't know if it's already out. It might be coming. I don't know if I released it yet or not. But it'll be coming out on the website. I'll be putting it out on social media and also the app. Last time Ken was here, we had a full house. So we'll be taking, you know, it's a free event, but still we just want to be able to keep a head count of who was coming. I think when
That's
he came.
Just to know if we need to get extra chairs out and stuff like that.
I think when he was coming, we ended up with standing
issues.
Room as well. So, I mean, it was full.
But it's completely free, and please feel free to invite your friends and family. We just want to keep track of how many so we know if we need to get extra chairs, make the rows closer, or whatever. All right, and thank you so much for your donations of clothes and diapers and wipes for the sheltering tree. They're just so blessed, and they're so grateful for your support. And then Oasis Worship tonight at 6 o'clock. Worship only for about an hour, followed by a little bit of prayer. Come out if you can. It's a wonderful time. And then every Tuesday from 11 to 1, we have the prayer room right here.
Yep.
And you can come in. You don't have to stay the whole time. If you have a need or if you just want to join us in prayer, you can pop by on your lunch break or whatever. And we're always
and
happy
to
see
you. Never know what's going to happen.
Every time is different. It's wonderful.
Every time is different. So
it's an adventure every time. And if anybody needs prayer at the end, please feel free to come on up. We'd be happy to pray with you.
That's it.
And
all
until
right.
next time.
Cool. Let's stand, and I'll give you the blessing, and then we'll be out of here. Well, some of me running out the door. Time for a buffet. But I'm just kidding. All right. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, gracious unto you, giving you his peace, his wonderful peace. From this day forward, expect, not just think about it, but expect the favor of God to operate in your life. Expect blessings from heaven to come from unseen sources. Like we say, Lord, thank you for checks in the mail, Father. Expect God to open doors of opportunity for you. Expect God to bind the hands of your enemies and bring them confusion. Expect God to protect your children and your children's children in every detail of their lives. Open the window of heaven over your life. Give God access into your life every single day and watch what he does. Expect divine protection wherever you place your foot, whether you are going out or coming back. Expect favor, and more favor to be upon your lives. Expect doors to be open again before you that are open and doors that need to be shut to be closed. And don't try to open them because they won't open. Expect increase of God's glory to be manifested in your lives. Expect this week to God to do something crazy in your lives, that mind-blowing experience. Expect him just to even tell him, Father, I want a mind-blowing experience. I want to shout your holy name from the rooftops. Do something major in my life this week. And we declare it now in Yeshua's mighty name, we said, amen. Amen. Awesome. If you guys need prayer, if not, we'll see you next week. Have a wonderful one.